Here it is!
From deep inside your audio device of choice.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a jam-packed pre-Valentine's Day show this week. So let's start right off with the side effects of the week.
Don't take if you've had an allergic or life-threatening reaction to Kesimpta or have hepatitis B. Your doctor should test for hepatitis B before treatment. If you've had it, it could return. Serious side effects, including fatal infections, can happen, especially taken before or after other medicines that weaken the immune system. PML, a rare brain infection that may be fatal or cause severe disability, can occur. Tell your doctor if you had or plan to have vaccines, or you are or plan to become pregnant. It's unknown if Kesimpta will harm your unborn baby. Certain antibodies may decrease and should be monitored. Most common side effects are upper respiratory infection, headache, and injection reactions, including swelling, itching, pain, skin redness, fever, headache, muscle pain, chills, and tiredness.
I got tired just listening to that. Hello, welcome to the show.
Is it an earthquake? Are simply a shock? Is it the good turtle soup or merely the mock? Is it a cocktail, this feeling of joy? Or is what I feel the real McCoy? Is it for all time? Or simply a lark? Is it Granada I see, or only Asbury Park? Is it a fancy not worth thinking of? Or is it at long last lost? Is it an earthquake? Are simply a shock? Is it the good turtle soup, or is it merely the mock? Is it a cocktail, this feeling of joy? Or is what I feel the real McCoy? Is it for all time? Or simply a lark? Is it Granada I see, or only Asbury Park? Is it a fancy not worth thinking of? Or is it at long?
From New Orleans, Louisiana, where we had the Super Bowl last year, we're going to try to have again a few, and maybe this time not have local businesses lose so much money by being shut out of the clean zone, the only place where you can make money around the Super Bowl. It's a thing. I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. And now, speaking of sports, it's news of the Olympic movement. Produced by Jim Ebersole III. Yes, there's an Olympics thing going on now. But meantime, the Los Angeles City Council has voted to ease the process for facilities that may need to be built for the 2028 Olympic Games. The ordinance would allow some temporary projects deemed necessary for the Games to skip zoning and city approval. It would also allow some permanent projects to be exempted from zoning regulations if the projects are individually approved by the council. And of course, they can't be bought. What exactly could be built under the new guidelines remains unclear. The Games were touted as a no-build Olympics, where nothing had to be constructed anew. But the ordinance seems to pave the way for construction. Many elements and activities of the 2028 Games will require building and developments, including but not limited to the build-out or improvements to temporary and permanent venues, training facilities, security perimeters, broadcast and media centers, transit infrastructure, live sites, and fan zones. That's from one of the council members. An amendment from one of the other council members ensured the planning department would have to create clear criteria that temporary projects would need to meet in order to be made permanent after the events. Most of the concerns voiced by LA City Council members revolved around the potential for temporary signage, especially digital signs, to go up and then become permanent. That's odd, because in Santa Monica, they've just approved the installation of them as an attraction. At a press conference at the Milano Cortina Olympics, the International Olympic Committee voiced its support for Casey Wasserman, despite his involvement with Ghislaine Maxwell. IOC Vice President Nicole Hovertz says she has full trust in Wasserman and his team. Switzerland may bid to host the 2038 Winter Olympics, despite a long record of public resistance. Voters have rejected Olympic projects in referenda in 2013, 2017, and 2018. However, this proposal is being advanced without a vote. The bid is being prepared by Swiss Olympic, which argues that past rejections are a poor guide. And in the quest for Olympic gold, professional athletes endure hardships that might seem unfathomable to most of us. But to those lengths extend to ski jumpers injecting their penises with hyaluronic acid in order to fly farther? That's the question the World Anti-Doping Agency is investigating, since such startling allegations emerged first in the German newspaper Bild in what has now been dubbed Penisgate. This is from The Guardian. Bild has claimed that athletes have injected the acid into their penises to game the system when they're measured for their suits, which is highly regulated to prevent any athlete having an aerodynamic advantage. Hyaluronic acid is a common filler used in cosmetic surgery. Injecting a penis with hyaluronic acid would make it bigger girthwise, but you need to inject a lot of it, says a urological surgeon. Oh, it's the Olympics. It's a movement. And we need one. Every day. The mention of Casey Wasserman and his involvement with Ghislaine Maxwell, of course, brings to mind the fact that a major story around the world right now has been kicked off the front pages by the Super Bowl, by a murder mystery, and a few other things. But it is remarkable how an American story has become bigger and bigger overseas. Here, for example, is the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer this week in London, speaking about his former appointee as ambassador to the U.S., Peter Mandelson, whom he fired after he learned that what Mandelson had told him about Mandelson's relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, i.e., I hardly knew him, was a lie and a further affront to the victims.
They have seen accountability delayed and too often denied. To them, I want to say this. I am sorry. Sorry for what was done to you. Sorry that so many people with power failed you. Sorry for having believed Mandelson's lies and appointed him. And sorry that even now you're forced to watch this story unfold in public once again. But I also want to say this. In this country, we will not look away. We will not shrug our shoulders. And we will not allow the powerful to treat justice as optional.
What What country is he talking about in that context? Oh, unredacted images and videos showing nudity released in the Epstein files have been online for days, despite U.S. officials being warned about failures in redaction. Lawyers say this has caused victims irreparable harm. This is a story from the BBC. The files, seen by BBC's Verify department, are among thousands of documents lawyers say they've discovered that contain identifying information about dozens of Epstein's victims. BBC found independently that a number of images of identifiable people were still online Wednesday, despite the U.S. government stating the day before that it was tackling the issue of incomplete redactions. The BBC approached the Department of Justice for comment, supplying the names of unredacted files. The damage done is irreparable, said a lawyer representing the victims. Four of the images identified by the BBC showed partially clothed young females with their faces and bodies unredacted. Photos of other people appeared to have been redacted in some documents, but left unredacted elsewhere. One document contained two versions of the same picture, one showing the face covered with a black square, the other showing the same face in full. Another video also identified someone who was seen lifting up her shirt and showing her breast to the camera. This made news in England, but not here. Also, the director of the new documentary on Melania has appeared embracing a young woman in images released by the Department of Justice. At the end of the week, Brett Ratner can be seen sitting on a sofa beside the late sex offender Epstein and two women whose identities have been obscured. When the images were taken, remains unclear, though they appear to have been taken in the same location as photos of Ratner and Epstein alongside a late French modeling agent. Those pictures were released in December. No indication of wrongdoing. Ratner's representatives have been asked for comment. A series of fun mails of the picture collection shows Ratner, Epstein, and the French modeling agent smiling and relaxing with different women, all of whose identities have been concealed. But wait, there's more. A scintilla of Epstein news in this country. CBS News has no plans to drop health guru Peter Attia from his contributor role, to which he was just hired. This after his emails to Epstein surfaced, reporting the LA Times. Attia was among 19 contributors named by Barry Weiss, the new CBS News editor-in-chief, when she outlined her plans for the news future of CBS, i.e. more newsletter writers and influencers. Attia showed up in the latest batch of files on Epstein 2 days after Weiss's all-hands meeting at CBS. He's a Stanford-trained physician who gained prominence for his expertise in longevity medicine. He had a number of email exchanges with Epstein, including a crude discussion about female genitalia. Another message showed Attia expressing dismay that he could not discuss Epstein's activities. Quote, "You know the biggest problem with becoming friends with you? The life you lead is so outrageous, and yet I can't tell a soul." Unquote. Conduct such as Attia's association with Epstein would, says the LA Times, typically be grounds for a network news organization to cut ties with an individual, especially one who's not a full-time employee. But Weiss is said to be opposed to cutting Attia, according to two people familiar with her thinking. As founder of the Free Press and as an opinion writer, Weiss spoke out against so-called cancel culture and does not want to be seen as reacting to the Epstein frenzy. Good non-reaction, Barry. Meanwhile, somebody's reacting. Norway's Crown Princess Mette Marit has given a profound apology to Norwegians for her friendship with the late sex offender. After it emerged, they had exchanged messages for 3 years. "I also apologize for the situation in which I have placed the royal house, especially the king and queen," she said in a statement after days of mounting pressure to address the issue. This also from the BBC. The king and queen, who are both 88, have not commented on the revelations. Some of the emails apparently involved plans to meet in person and revealed that she spent 4 days at Epstein's Palm Beach house in Florida while he was not there. The warm nature of the correspondence has come as a shock to Norwegians. She appears to have been aware he had already served a jail term in 2008. Gould you after last email, she wrote. Agree, didn't look too good, unquote. In an initial statement last week, in which the Crown Princess expressed regret and admitted poor judgment, Palace had been pressed to provide further details of how well she knew Epstein. In a statement this week, the Palace said the Crown Princess was deeply saddened that she'd failed to realize early enough what kind of person he was. She wanted to provide a more detailed explanation, but was in a very difficult situation and needed time to, quote, gather herself. Quote, it's important for me to say I'm sorry to all those I've disappointed. Some of the content in the messages between Epstein and me does not represent the person I want to be, said the Princess of Norway. And on a related note, some apologies of the week. Dr. Peter Attia, the aforementioned, put out a lengthy statement this week saying he's, quote, ashamed, unquote, of his relationship with Epstein. Attia and Epstein's apparent friendship was revealed through emails included in that file dump last week. Quote, the purpose of the DOJ releasing these documents is clear to identify individuals who participated in criminal activity, enabled it, or witnessed it. I am not in any one of those categories, and there's no evidence to the contrary, Attia wrote. I was not involved in any criminal activity. My interactions with Epstein had nothing to do with his sexual abuse or exploitation of anyone. I was never on his plane, never on his island, and never present at any of his sex parties. Attia, described by Variety as a high-profile author, health influencer, and celebrity doctor, was mentioned more than 1,700 times in the latest batch of files. They revealed a back and forth with Epstein that lasted long after Epstein was hit with sex trafficking and prostitution charges. In a 2016 email to a former assistant to Epstein, Attia wrote, quote, I go into J.E. withdrawal when I don't see him. Unquote. In other apologies, under the fluorescent lights of an American Legion Hall near Atlanta in front of more than a dozen Democratic activists, Jeff Duncan apologized for all the things he did as a Republican. He regrets opposing gun control, he's sorry for fighting the expansion of the Medicaid program in Georgia, and he's most remorseful about supporting some of the strictest abortion rules in the country. Quote, unlike most folks in politics, I'm willing to say I'm sorry for that, he said. He's doing a lot of apologizing these days because the former Republican is running for governor as a Democrat. Newsletter platform Substack has admitted that an intruder swiped user contact details months before the company noticed, forcing it to warn readers and writers that their email addresses and other account metadata were accessed without permission. The disclosure arrived in an email from Substack CEO Chris Best to affected users. Quote, I'm reaching out to let you know about a security incident that resulted in the email address from your Substack account being shared without your permission. I'm sorry. This sucks. We will work very hard to make sure it does not happen again. Unquote. And a British supermarket says staff will undergo further training after a store manager ejected the wrong man when facial recognition technology triggered an alert. Warren Raja was approached by a store manager at Sainsbury's, that's a supermarket chain, this one in London, instructed to leave after the store's face watch system alerted staff to a match. Sainsbury's told the British Tech Journal or Register that its face watch system correctly identified a man on its offenders database and alerted store personnel, who manually review each flag. However, in responding to the alert, the manager approached the wrong person, Raja, and escorted him out of the store. A spokesperson for the chain said, quote, "We've been in contact with Mr. Raja to sincerely apologize for experience in our Elephant and Castle store. This was not an issue with the facial recognition technology in use, but a case of the wrong person being approached in store." At least they didn't approach the elephant. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. From a carnivalized New Orleans, this is Le Show. Another news story that kind of got short shrift this week is, aside from the Epstein story, is that of a storied, is the adjective that's used a lot in this context, storied newspaper that got its staff cut by a third, its news staff cut by a third this week. It drew some attention here. It drew some attention elsewhere. We make two assumptions on this program, me. One, that the late President Nixon got into heaven. And two, that he's still taping.
All of it. It's about time. Well, yours is still one of the few clouds with a lock, and I left the code in my other robe, so...
Well, you're here now. Just in time for the celebration.
It's interesting. There's not that much to celebrate up here. Everything's so good.
No. This is about down there.
Mm.
You want some non-alcoholic champagne?
Well, I'm assuming we don't have the other kind.
Not up here. Of course, down at the other place.
No. Not worth the nastiness, not to mention the flames.
No. I mean, this place is no paradise with the surveillance and the dining room staff being so judgmental, but...
Still, it's a kind of heaven.
Yep, that's right. A kind of heaven.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You could imagine a better one,
but what good would it do us?
Exactly. That's right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, every once in a while, I check to see if they're putting together a better one, but...
No.
Yeah. So, if you don't mind my getting back to the subject, what is it we're raising our theoretical glasses to?
It's down there, Bob.
Hmm?
It's what we've always wanted.
Pat got a facelift? It's a little late.
If you remember that little creep, Bob Woodward, and his Jewish friend, Bernstein.
Well, I've taken the advantage of the memory removal service up here, but if I'm not mistaken, you're talking about the two jerks who made such a big thing about Watergate?
Right. But it's not about them.
Mm.
I mean, who cares about them? Sometimes even I can't even remember their names.
Woodward.
Of course, I remember their names now. Mm. I'm with you.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the so-called angels up here have no idea who I'm talking about. They never warned me heaven could be so dumb.
Well, the younger angels, of course.
No, but you learn history. Mm.
Sure.
Yep.
So, getting back to your point.
Haldeman. Our dream has come true. They've destroyed the damn Washington Post.
Someone blew up the building. That was...
The building is fine. It's the newspaper they're taking apart. Mm. Hundreds of so-called reporters out on their asses. And of course, they're bitching like gassed rats.
Well, I must have missed this.
The rats?
No. The thing about the Post. Mm. I try to keep up. It's not easy up here. Even the Post arrives late.
Just conjuring up that scene in my mind's eyeball. Woodward out on the street begging for scraps.
Mm-hmm.
Bernstein poking through garbage cans looking for kosher trash. Both of them begging their precious anonymous sources to give them a goddamn job. You know I don't like food that much, Haldeman, but this is delicious.
Well, but we tried to get them for years. We had the plot to poison their typewriters. I mean... Ooh.
That's the sweet part, Haldeman. It was our damn owner, Bezos, whatever the hell he calls himself. He's doing this to curry favor with Trump.
Trump is still around?
Haldeman, I'd give you a subscription to the Post, except it's worthless. Bezos has these businesses that need federal approval for something or other.
Probably antitrust.
Yep. Can you just imagine if that bitch Catherine Graham had tried that with us?
Far as I know, she didn't have any other businesses.
So?
So she didn't need federal approval for anything.
Hmm. No. That was probably her plan all along.
Mm-hmm.
Not to need our approval.
Mm-hmm.
Vicious woman.
Yep.
Still?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a half century too late, but...
But it's still the best news we've gotten all year.
Hmm. So we're celebrating with the non-alcoholic champagne?
On second thought, I don't think so.
Mm.
Up here, it's a dry February.
That's right. I really should subscribe to something.
Yep.
And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Looks like muscular.
Dateline Las Vegas, Elon Musk's Vegas Loop. That's a network of underground tunnels. Where else would you put tunnels? To ferry passengers in Teslas. Was under fresh scrutiny this week from Nevada lawmakers. They raised concern about alleged workplace safety and environmental violations. Like he's supposed to care about that? Lawmakers spent hours grilling state safety officials over alleged violations by the Boring Company. That's the Musk-owned venture, with tunneling projects also planned for Nashville and Dubai. Dubai, everybody. Company officials declined to attend, but provided written answers defending the project. Said Democratic Assemblyman, whose district includes the tunnel project, quote, "I think they're a company that acts like they're kind of above the law and want to play by their own set of rules," unquote. I think. First opened in 2021, the Vegas Loop offers free rides around the Las Vegas Convention Center. That's a thing. And charges between $4 and $12 for rides to some hotels, casinos, and the airport. The Teslas can be hailed by website or accessed at stations. The Boring Company is approved to build 68 miles of tunnels and 104 stations over the next few years in Vegas. That city lacks fast and robust public transit. Just for background, the Boring Company was promised to be building tunnels somewhere in the vicinity of Los Angeles some time ago. No tunnels have yet appeared. But back in Vegas, Mayor Shelley Berkley praised the project after the city issued a permit for a new tunnel. Quote, "The city is excited to bring an innovative transportation option to downtown Las Vegas and create another way for visitors to experience all the city has to offer," she said. The Boring Company has been accused of breaking multiple safety and environmental rules, according to the AP. Between 2020 and 2026, 17 complaints were filed with the State Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Last year, ProPublica reported the company was accused of nearly 800 environmental violations for its Las Vegas project. And there's not that much environment in Vegas. Of those 17 complaints, one resulted in an inspection with 8 proposed citations, including claims that 15 to 20 employees were injured after getting burned with accelerants, and there were no showers available for employees who got sprayed with the accelerants. Several other complaints are still open. The Boring Companies paid nearly $600,000 in fines. Much of it went to the local water reclamation district for discharging untreated wastewater. $600,000. Elon's got that in his... The company is fighting around $355,000 in fines with Nevada's OSHA and the Nevada Division of Environmental Protection. The company didn't return emails seeking comment from the AP, but in a letter to lawmakers, the company emphasized its safety procedures, including daily inspections and workplace safety training. Last September, there was an incident in which a worker suffered a crushing injury inside a tunnel after being pinned between 2 4,000-foot pipes. Firefighters used a crane to extract him from the tunnel opening. At that time, last September, the company said in a statement to local news outlets, it is investigating the incident, and the safety of and well-being of its employees are, say it with me, top priority. I'm getting the impression, ladies and gentlemen, that top priority doesn't mean what we think it means. Like, top is nowhere near the top. It added, said the company, the employee was in stable condition and doing well. I didn't even realize there were stables in Las Vegas. Watts said the lawmakers may bring forward, Watts is one of the legislators, a bill when they return to session next year to speed up the process for assessing violations and shortening the timeline for contesting them. The scrutiny in Nevada comes as Musk's company has started construction in Nashville on the Music City Loop, despite opposition from some Nashville officials concerned about, you know, safety, transparency, a lack of local input. The initial 13-mile stretch of tunnels will connect the city's airports and downtown. Sounds like much love. The other major news story this week, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, continues to be concerned with ICE and its presence in Minneapolis and its presence in Italy at the Winter Olympics. A couple of the athletes there have protested, including one who urinated in the snow the words F ICE. But as I say, as you know, the main action is still going on in Minneapolis. Really remarkable stories coming out. There was a hearing conducted by Democratic senators this week, so it wasn't an official hearing. But they had the hearing room in which they heard testimony from some folks, including a mentally disabled woman who was driving when stopped by ICE, people who told heartrending stories about their interactions with ICE officials. The administration, led by the felon in chief, announced that they were kind of lightening the acceleration a little bit this week. They sent Tom Homan down to up to Minneapolis to replace Greg Bovino, who had been the guy, the only member of ICE who actually wore a uniform. Ironic. He was the leader, and he wore a hell of a uniform. Anyway, Homan was supposed to be the guy who was going to take it a little bit easier, going to be a little more attentive to the rules and stuff. Maybe they'd identify themselves. Maybe they'd not wear masks, you know. But the main thrust of the operation remains, guided by the deputy chief of staff at the White House, the man who basically imposed a 3,000 arrest a day quota on the operations of ICE and the Border Patrol, Stephen Miller, who puts his position in song, as he sometimes does on this program. Ladies and gentlemen, the latest from the Stephen Miller Band.
I set some quotas for deportees, something like 3,000 a day. We're getting rid of the worst of the worst. There ain't that many, some people say. That's just an excuse, a fraud and a ruse. There's millions of aliens around. They're hiding and they're sliding and staying inside, just hoping they're not gonna be found. But I'm a quota cowboy. I'm really not fooling around. You make my numbers every day, or it's sand that you're gonna pound. Yeah, 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 yeah. You know the worst of the worst is only some words. Every alien's committed a crime, or they may be working or raising some kids. That's what woke folks say all the time. But being here's a privilege, it ain't no right, and you only earn it one of two ways. Either you were born here and look real white, or you got a relative who pays. I'm a quota cowboy. You know that first, I hired lots of people just like me, and now we get the best of the worst. Yeah, 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 yeah. Gotta meet my quota in Minnesota. Serious about my quota in each Dakota. Care about my quota to the last iota.
get dressed, you walk about. Now is that the teasing glances push me out? Now is that the tougher, tougher, tougher it gets, the more my lips frequent. Now that is love. Beat me up with your letters, your walkout notes. Funny how you still find me right here at home. Legs up with a book and a drink. Now is that love that's making you think? Now is that love? The more you cool down, the easier love is found. Now that is love.
Ladies and gentlemen, as if we're not pelted, surrounded, absorbing, imbibing enough stuff to kill us, there's this story from the Associated Press regarding Bob Shaw, the head of a huge carpet manufacturing company in Dalton, Georgia. Carpets of Dalton? Does that ring? He had a meeting about 5-6 years ago with the executives of 3M, big chemical company. Weeks earlier, the company had announced it would reformulate its signature stain resistance brand under pressure from the EPA because of human health and environmental concerns. Mills like Shaw had been using Scotchgard in carpet production, releasing its chemical ingredients into the environment for decades and on a massive scale. Quote, I got 15 million of these out in the marketplace. What am I supposed to do about that? Unquote. A 3M executive replied he didn't know. Shaw threw the carpet sample at him and left the room. That answer would be the same as that of the broader industry. Carpet makers kept using closely related chemical alternatives for years, even after scientific studies and regulators warned of their accumulation in human blood and possible health effects. Customers expected stain resistance. Nothing worked better than the family of chemicals known as PFAS. You know them from this program as Forever Chemicals. A lack of state and federal regulations has allowed carpet companies and their suppliers to legally switch among different versions of these stain and soil-resistant products. Meanwhile, the local public utility in Dalton, Georgia, responsible for ensuring safe drinking water for the residents, coordinated with carpet executives in private meetings that would effectively shield their companies from oversight. Year after year, the chemicals traveled in water discarded during manufacturing across northwest Georgia, eventually reaching a river system that provides drinking water to hundreds of thousands of people in Georgia and eastern Alabama. That would explain, no. The pollution is so bad, some researchers have identified the region as one of the nation's forever chemicals hotspots. Today, the consequences can be found everywhere. The chemicals are in the water and the soil. They're in the dust on floors where children crawl, the local fish and wildlife. And an ongoing research has shown people. An investigation by newsrooms including the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Associated Press, and Frontline has revealed how the economic engine that sustained Northwest Georgia contaminated the area and neighboring states. Records, including testimony from key executives, emails, and other internal documents, now detail how carpet companies benefited from chemistry and regulatory inaction to keep using forever chemicals. The durability that makes them so good at protecting carpets from spilled tomato sauce and muddy boots lets them survive in the environment. It also makes them dangerous for humans because they bind to a protein in human blood and absorb into some organs. The blood of nearly all Americans has some amount of the chemicals, which have been used in a variety of consumer products, your nonstick cookware, your waterproof sunscreen, your dental floss, your microwave popcorn bags. Few industries use them as much as carpet did in Northwest Georgia. Huge amounts were needed for stain resistance on an industrial scale. Minuscule amounts, the equivalent of less than a drop in an Olympic-sized swimming pool, can make drinking water a health risk. For certain of the forever chemicals, U.S. regulators now say no level is safe to drink. Of course, you're not drinking your carpet. Carpet executives have long insisted they are not to blame. They point out that 3M and DuPont assured them that their products were safe for decades, hiding internal studies that were finding harm to the environment, animals, and, oh yeah, people. Forever's not long.
Look, look at what you've done. You've hit and run my heart, and I just can't seem to think of saving myself, and I still don't understand why you'd be the man for me. But I can't seem to think of loving someone else, and oh, it's so mysterious. Well, let's hear it for love. I could be home in my bed, and you'd be chasing aeroplanes. I could pretend to be dead, and you'd be entertaining friends. You're like a home in my head, but the world will never be the same without you. No, the world will never ever be the same. What you've done, I'm overwhelmed and overcome, and I can't seem to make you give me any more of yourself. And look at what you did, you lit the sky, then you closed the lid, and now I'm like a dog who's crawling on your floor. And oh, it's so mysterious. Chasing airplanes, I could pretend to be dead, and you'd be entertaining friends. You're like a hole in my head, but the world will never be the same without you. The world will never ever be the same. It's curious, it's mysterious, it makes you furious. The places where you find love, there's no planet. It's a man and a woman, it's heaven and it's human, and there's nothing better going. It's the taste of danger, it's sex with a stranger. It's the last man on earth, it's a dog in a manger. So let's hear it, let's hear it. We'll be right back.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, AI sings a tribute to itself.
AI's great, just first rate. Love or hate, it's the gold state. AI is fine, like a well-aged wine, more like rhyme than turpentine.
Only 3.3% of Microsoft 365 and Office 365 users who touch Copilot chat actually pay for it, an awkward figure that landed alongside Microsoft's $37 billion AI expenditure and its insistence that the payoff is coming. This is from the British tech journal, The Register. That single percentage stat undermines the company's carefully polished Copilot success story. In its earnings call, Microsoft repeatedly cited record AI momentum, telling investors it now has 15 million paid Microsoft 365 Copilot seats. Seat growth up more than 160% year over year. Head of Microsoft, Satya Nadella, described Copilot as becoming a true daily habit, claiming daily active users are up tenfold year after year, and that average conversations per user have doubled. What Microsoft did not articulate is how small that paid footprint looks against the vast base of Microsoft 365 users who are experimenting with Copilot for free, meaning no money changes hands. And ending up where sort of we started, using AI-created or manipulated images, social media users have sought to falsely associate prominent U.S. politicians such as New York Mayor Mondani with the late Jeffrey Epstein, researchers said this week, according to Agence France-Presse.
Ah, the French.
Disinformation watchdog NewsGuard said seven such images collectively gathered more than 21 million views on Elon Musk's X. Marks the spot, underscoring how tech-enabled false narratives on social media are increasingly blurring the line between fact and fiction. Well, I'll tell you which side of the line Elon Musk is on. Conservative social media users circulated three images that purported to show Epstein posing with Mondani, who appears as a child. Two of them also depict Mira Nair, the mayor's mother, who's an award-winning filmmaker. The images are AI-generated fakes, according to NewsGuard. The watchdog cited a review of the images using Google's artificial intelligence tool Gemini, which detected an invisible watermark that identifies AI content. And in a post on X that racked up more than 1.5 million views, our old friend conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, yes, still, featured one of those images and claimed that Musk's AI chatbot, Grok, had called it real. That's the same Grok that is accused of still creating deep fake nudified images of real people. It's done one of Elon Musk at my request. Disinformation researchers have long voiced concern about the unreliability of AI chatbots as a fact-checking tool. Also circulating on social media was a screenshot of an email reportedly sent by Haley, former South Carolina governor, to Epstein. I have two babies with me. Can you arrange a flight for me? Can't leave them at home, the screenshot quoted Haley as saying. But a search of the purported email in the Justice Department files didn't yield any results. The screenshot also contained other indications that it was fabricated, including the date of the purported email, January 7th, 2014, was a Tuesday and not as depicted in the thing as a Saturday. Haley did not immediately respond to Agence Presse's request for comment. More Epstein news this week? You bet. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this week's edition of the show. Back next week, same time, same radio stations, or on your audio device of choice whenever you want it. A tip of the show chapeau to the San Diego and Hawaii desks. Thanks to Pam Halstead and to Thomas Walsh here at WWNO New Orleans for help with today's program. And I provide you with, I offer you, a lot of interesting stuff to read, see, and hear at harryshear.com and on my YouTube channel and now on Substack. The show comes to you from Century Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Changes Easy radio network. So long from the Crescent City.